NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to Grid Talk. My name is Ruby Price, and today we are here to review the 2024 Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix. Joining me today, we have Grid Talk and Monkey Seat co-host Tom Horrocks.
Hi there.
And F1 writer Dev Tiani.
Hi, good to be here again.
Before we get into the episode, we must thank our sponsor for this episode, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest odds, news, and scores available to follow from your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And also be sure to follow us on our social channels at Grid Talk UK to stay up to date with the show. So overall, we generally had a race as damp as the Imola circuit was in 2023. But after a slow burn, we had edge of your seat tension as Lando Norris inched closer to Max Verstappen, who had been comfortably leading out front until the young Brit put the pedal down. And for ultimately, Tom, a Verstappen win from pole, and the tone was set going into turn one as he got a good start and led Norris from Tamburello. What was your take on the race, and where do you rank this in Max Verstappen's 59 wins 8 years on from the weekend he took his very first for the team?
Wow, was it 59 already? That has gone epically fast. Yeah, it's insane. That firstly, congratulations Max Verstappen, holding on for a great victory, something we haven't seen him have to do a lot recently. And seeing him under that kind of pressure, not making a mistake, after seemingly having it quite easy for such a long time, yeah, he definitely deserves props for that. He earned his money this weekend as well. But seeing that we've had an absolute domination from Ferrari with Michael Schumacher, and then saying, oh, those records will never be beaten, and then within, you know, the next generation comes along, Lewis Hamilton even crossing over that generation with Schumacher's return, he then eclipses those records. We're saying we're never going to see these records broken again, and now, like, even with before Lewis Hamilton has retired, we're seeing these records look like they're going to tumble once again. I know we've got the whole caveat of more races, but you know, you can tell by the percentage of races that Verstappen is winning that it is the most dominant period in Formula One history, which is not great for viewership. But this weekend, I know it wasn't the most amazing race in the world, but seeing that after 63 laps of the Grand Prix of Imola with zero safety cars, red flags. I don't think we even had a yellow flag. I don't think even anyone went off track at any point apart from, was it Albon slowly on track? But I don't think that even led to a yellow flag. And we finished the race under a second behind, and it's two different cars. So that shows that there is hope for the season. I don't think we're going to have anyone fighting for the championship, but hopefully we'll be able to enjoy some races and not just be looking at the third to eighth battle. It looks like we are going to have some battles for the lead, which is fantastic, and maybe we can go into next season just hoping that we do have a fight and a championship fight on our hands, just in time for a new rule set to go and stretch the pack out again.
It's classic F1. We get close racing, and then the next season, everything's all spread out again. But yeah, with about 20 laps to go, Ted Kravitz was calling this a race for second. But chasing down Max at the end, Dev, was Lando Norris in the McLaren. The gap was coming down and down and down. But unfortunately for McLaren, the race just ran out of laps and it prevented a back-to-back McLaren win. I believe what would have been the first one since 2012. Tell me what you thought about Lando's race, and was there ever a chance at that top step?
I would definitely think yes. I think if Lando Norris would have had at his disposal probably half a dozen laps or maybe less than that, he would have been gunning definitely for the top step of the podium. From the onset of lap 49 until the time of the checkered flag, he was taking a 10th out of Max Verstappen, which was incredible. And then, of course, the battery pack was dying out at Verstappen's end, which definitely played very well into Lando Norris's hand. But I think full credit also to Norris for not bungling it up in the end, because, you know, the pressure can get you through, and high speed corners and high octane chase at the end, and you're closely following in none other than Max Verstappen. So you're always just a tiny, minuscule second away from disaster. But he kept the wits about himself and he just accelerated and gave it his everything. But I think in the end, finishing 7/10 behind Verstappen, I think incredible job. The upgrades are finally showing very well. And this is what his fourth career podium in 2024. And actually, if you were to do simple schoolboy math, you'd realize a fourth of his career podiums have come in 2024, starting from Australia, China, Miami, and now finally Emilia-Romagna. So I think job well done to Lando Norris. He shouldn't complain.
Absolutely. Job well done. Bring that gap down at the end to just 0.725 seconds, which, considering I think most the average sort of before Miami gap that Verstappen's won by was something like 14 seconds on average. Like, that's, you know, a good sign of things to come, and I'm sure we might talk about that later. But taking the final step on the podium, Tom, was Ferrari's Charles Leclerc, who twice gained on Lando ahead before ultimately remaining behind the McLaren driver, but being the first Ferrari driver to step on the podium at Imola since Michael Schumacher.
Yeah, I mean, obviously very small sample set because it disappeared. The race disappeared around the same time that Schumacher did, so it's a very small sample set only in the last few years. But it shows how far Ferrari have come, that in the few years we have been back at Imola, that they've been able to produce this winning car. And it is a winning car. It's won a race this season, and not in the hands of Charles Leclerc, but chuffed for him to be on the podium in this race. And just looking at what it meant to the fans and seeing those scenes, like, you haven't seen those scenes in Formula One so much recently, and it's great for those fans to get that experience of a driver on a podium. I think it was a surprising pace. I think for all the talk before the race was about Ferrari's pace and are they going to be a Red Bull challenger, and I bought into that hype. I thought they were, with the updates that they brought, that they were going to leap ahead of McLaren. It was going to be Red Bull Ferrari with McLaren just bringing up the rear slightly further back. But I think Piastri's pace showed in the early parts of the race, and so did Norris, that was not the case. So the fact that Leclerc was again able to close that gap down, but perhaps, you know, with Norris's race management just not quite on the same level in that case, but really strong performance, I think, from Leclerc. And he's been under a lot of pressure from Sainz as well this season, with Sainz just obviously on the way out, doesn't need to play the team game any more than anyone would normally do. That he doesn't have to like beg for his seat and bend over backwards, do whatever Ferrari say. He can just go out there and race. So that there is a certain amount of pressure there from that, where he is released from the chains, so to speak. But again, Leclerc just overall is a faster driver. That's why he's the one that's been retained, and Sainz is the one that's been let go. So yeah, Sainz is a fantastic driver, but Leclerc is again showing that he has that overall class. He's just checking the standings. He's 20 points ahead. I know Sainz has missed a race, but he wouldn't have scored 20 points in that race. So, and he just genuinely is showing more pace. He was a quicker Ferrari driver all weekend. So strong performance from Leclerc. I think we've got the three drivers on the podium today. Are the three drivers going to be contending the remaining race victories, which is an indictment on the second Red Bull driver as well, but I'm not even going to get into that. But no, overall, very, very good performance from Leclerc, and it's going to be good for the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Very strong performance from those top three. Deb, the first of our finishers then to change positions, Oscar Piastri, he'll be regretting the penalty that he picked up in qualifying for impeding Magnussen. He was immediately cut off by both Ferraris off the line, but strategy came into play and Oscar was able to undercut Carlos Sainz for both drivers to come home P4 and P5 respectively.
Yeah, I think eventually a very strong finish for Oscar Piastri, you know, putting the nose of his car ahead of Carlos Sainz, who's been in red hot menacing form this season, may not have been such an easy task. I think in the first half of the race, the kind of pressure that he was putting on the Spanish driver was kind of manic, and Sainz's race was almost, I think it was falling apart. And then, as you rightly said, that the undercut worked brilliantly into McLaren's favor. They pressurized Ferrari, and I think this race was also, I think one of the most underappreciated facts was that this race was also high on tire degradation. And I think he looked after his tires very well. He was able to go for, you know, a longer stint after that. And then, of course, ensuring that McLaren finished with 30 points on the whole as a team. So I think valuable points there from Oscar Piastri's end. And again, I would say that, you know, if he was not penalized, if he was starting from the front row, possibly it would have been an even higher ending in the end. That wasn't the case today, but I think he would be contented with what he was able to achieve for the WRC team.
Yeah, absolutely. A very strong weekend collectively from McLaren, and what could have been if it weren't for Saturday. Kevin Magnussen once again taking a trip to the stewards, but this time not coming home with any penalty points. But Toto Wolff predicted P6 and P7 for his Mercedes duo before the race, and that's exactly what he got. Hamilton finishing just ahead of his teammate, I say just, George Russell, who pit late for fresh mediums and the fastest lap, completely in no man's land. What did you make of the Mercs in Italy today?
Well, ultimately, the strategy that they chose did maximise the points available to them. As you rightly say, 6th and 7th was realistically the best they could hope for. They weren't as quick as the McLarens, they weren't as quick as the Ferraris. They were quicker than one of the Red Bulls. So 6th and 7th was where they were going to be. So that late pit stop for George Russell to then go for the fastest lap was realistically the only way they could have improved their lot. They couldn't have made that stop with Hamilton because he would have dropped in behind Perez. So it was the right decision on that. And I haven't heard it, but I understand that George was umming and ahhing on the radio about it and asking, if I do this, will Hamilton give me the position back? And they just said, no, why would he? So it's fine. It's an extra point for the championship. So he kind of, it's no real loss for him, but it's bragging rights of finishing behind your teammate. I don't think any of us are going to say that's a vintage Lewis Hamilton performance. He showed good race pace. He went long like he often does, and to try and get that overcut at the end. But that trip through the gravel just lost him 4 or 5 seconds. And that is eventually what was put him behind his teammate at the second set of stops. So had he not done that, potentially we could have had a battle between the Mercedes drivers, which I know a lot of us is itching to see that this year with Hamilton on the way out. There was a point in the race I thought, do you know what? This Mercedes doesn't look that bad, because they were about 5 or 6 seconds behind Piastri, and given the pace of that Mercedes and the McLaren at that point in the race, 5 or 6 seconds behind was not bad. But what we've got to remember is McLaren are a customer of Mercedes. I know they've got a much stronger partnership than we've seen in the past of, here's the engine, you go, you know, you figure it out. You know, they actually do get a lot of technical insight and decision into the direction of that engine. But it's still damning that they are so far behind McLaren. And, you know, the facilities they've got, and the only thing McLaren have got over Mercedes is a little bit more wind tunnel and CFD time. There's still no reason why they should be so far ahead. I mean, I'm not complaining, but it's still, we can damn them with faint praise and say, yay, well done, 6th and 7th, you're on the way up, but it's still not good enough. And they'll know it's not good enough. But I think there are green shoots of some recovery, but I can't see them making as much of a performance improvement as McLaren and Ferrari are going to do for the rest of the season. So I think this is their lot for the season. They might grab a few podiums if circumstances prevail, but beyond that, I can't see it.
Yeah, they're very much the Alpine of 2022, I would say, of like being so far off the top teams that, you know, this is kind of the best that they're going to get, but only ever having a chance of higher if something goes wrong ahead. But they'll certainly take, I think, P6 and P7 over what they had the last time we were in Imola, which of course was the location of my unfortunate grid talk bet. You know, some of the, Tom, you've got a 2-0 record so far now with this, but yeah, one of them was a lap down, one of them was P8 or 9. It didn't look like one was going to win, and now they're doing better than that and they're still not going to win. But let's have another look at another driver who's probably never going to get another win again in Formula One. Dev, his teammate won the race from pole position. Sergio Perez crashed out in P3, bottomed out in Q2, and came home in P8 after a trip through the gravel. It wasn't just Gasly, Albon, but locking up into the Rivazzas. just not really a good weekend for the Mexican in Imola, was it, Dev?
No, not at all. Well, actually, now it's been two Grand Prix on the trot where we haven't seen Perez making it to any step of the podium, let alone the win. At Miami, he finished fourth, which was behind Leclerc. Today, he's finished P8. And I think there have been many instances in the past where the Mexican driver has made life difficult for himself. And I just can't imagine that, you know, when you're driving such a rapid car like Red Bull, how can he not, you know, make it to Q3? That should be like an inveterate habit. But that's not the case for Perez. But I would say a bold call there to say that he would not be contending for any victories. I'm sure he would want to reverse that kind of a fate. But today, I think all that Perez was able to do was to simply minimize collateral damage. You know, his job was to basically just come back from the end and just get as many points in the kitty. But nowhere close to matching Verstappen, let alone giving him a tough fight. And yeah, just P8 in the end and just finishing ahead of the midfield teams. I don't know what his thoughts might be at this time, but I would think that with the next Grand Prix set to be at Monaco, it's just only going to get tougher. Although he's known as the King of Streets, but I think there are far bigger emperors at play right now, such as Max Verstappen, and now Norris also picking up amazing form. So I think we have a pretty tricky situation up ahead for Sergio.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure we might talk about this later, but maybe having completely missed his chance now that teams do appear to be catching up with the Red Bulls this season. But yeah, not a five-star race weekend from Sergio, but you can give us those five stars instead by taking five to leave us a five-star rating on Spotify.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A five-star review on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you're one of the 72% of people who aren't yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, please consider helping us out with a like and a subscribe. I'm talking to you, those of you who are watching it live right now. Press that thumbs up button, please. But looking further down the standings then, Tom, a rare race weekend where Lance Stroll outperforms his OAP teammate as Alonso suffered a nightmare Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix after also crashing out in P3 and qualifying slowest after a trip through the gravel. Was it the right decision for Aston Martin to use his afternoon like a test session? And was Stroll's position a surprise for you?
Well, I think it's the only choice they had, really, given his Alonso's qualifying session. It just like, mistake after mistake. And then when it was all on the line in that final run, he made a mistake again, and you know, he backed out, and I thought, oh, he's early enough in the lap, he'll just stick the recharge on and go again. Obviously he didn't have enough fuel in the car. So yeah, it was a bad performance. He deservedly qualified where he did, you know, going out in Q1, pit lane start, and then ran on the hards for like three laps and then came in for the softs. What was that about? I have no idea. Just rolling the dice on a potential strategy that, you know, probably a 1 in 50 chance of happening. It only happens when you played the F1 manager game. And then from there, just not doing anything. It was a test session. Like you said, I mean, one of the good things is he's had lots of running in clear air so that he can test these new upgrades and just they can really get a benchmark on them. But yeah, Lance Stroll, he wasn't quicker than Alonso. He was just making less mistakes. And you know, a race weekend where we see Fernando Alonso make four or five errors is unheard of. I don't think it's, you know, a sign that he's finally gone over that peak and he started to slip down the hill into mediocrity. I don't think that at all, but it's definitely a difficult weekend for him. So he's got to watch it. And I mean, 33 points. I don't know what he had this time last year, but it was a hell of a lot more than that. And Lance Stroll, 22 points behind him. So that's kind of like, that's Vettel Stroll levels of domination and Perez Stroll levels of domination. So it's still beating your teammate, which is all he needs to do realistically. And they're not going to get rid of him, because if he does start going downhill, they'll just say, oh, look, Stroll's finally realizing his potential. We're letting him down. So it's win-win for Lawrence Stroll either way, but they've got to start performing. If it's just a case that the upgrades don't suit this track, and we'll find out more in Monaco, because we all know how well Fernando Alonso did last year in Monaco. So we'll find out more there. But if they turn up to Monaco and they're where they are here, then there's some serious questions going to be asked about this program and where it's going and where, you know, Fernando Alonso has committed potentially the remainder of his career to. And he's looks like he's going to have another buyer's remorse like he had on the last few teams he's bought into. But I mean, fact is, he had nowhere else to go, did he? But yeah, difficult weekend for Aston Martin overall. But they will have got some decent data as the only positive to a bad race.
Breaking news, Fernando Alonso signs new contract with Alpine again. No, absolutely. I can't see that bridge being burnt a third time. But Dev, one driver who has had a good race weekend, most people will agree, is Yuki Tsunoda, who rounded out the top 10 in his V-carb for the final points position. His teammate, who got stuck behind Perez at start, came home in P13. Is it a strong weekend for V-carb, or a bit of a mixed bag with one driver bringing home points?
I think it's a very strong weekend specifically for Yuki Tsunoda, and of course with Ricardo not finishing in any points whatsoever, mixed bag of a result overall for the team. But Yuki in particular was flying after his first stop after the change in tyre, and I think there was this extremely ballsy move he executed on, I think it was one of the Alpines, and then it was first immediately on Nico Hülkenberg soon as he came out of the pits, and after that he was involved in a two-lap intricate battle with Zhou Guanyu. And then he was really fighting hard for this track position. And I think to be able to finish just behind Lance Stroll should be considered something worthy of applause. And especially, it's not been a great season entirely for the team, because Ricardo has not been in a position where he's been able to deliver anything stellar or even anything close to that end. So I think the bulwark of scoring points has been carried out rather dutifully and ardently by Yuki Tsunoda, who happens to be P10 on the driver's standings. He already has 15 points to his name. He's not driving the fastest car out there. And he has consistently outperformed his teammate on most Saturdays. So I think full credit to Yuki and solitary point, but I think they would take it.
Absolutely. It's all about picking up these solitary points when you can, when you are one of those teams where the single point will make the biggest difference. And that is generally that, you know, bottom part of the constructors, but you know, picking up those points here and there, that's all going to add up when it comes to Abu Dhabi. And you know, you lose your championship by a matter of 8 points. But another weekend for Haas, where their Saturday goes much better than their Sunday, both Hülkenberg and Magnussen finishing out of the points, but some much cleaner moves from K-Mag, who can't afford to continue his aggressive driving from Miami at this point.
No, there was one moment I thought, oh, this is the moment. This is it. This is where it's going to happen. He was up the inside. I can't remember, was it Ocon maybe? He was up the inside of, and then just backed out of it. I think Kevin Magnussen wouldn't have backed out of that one. But when you look at it, yeah, Hülkenberg's qualifying is epic this season and last season. He's clearly shown that he's still got that one lap pace, which is normally the thing that tends to go when you're kind of out of practice with Formula One. That's the first thing that goes, and then it's the experience and the race pace that continues. But Hülkenberg's still absolutely got that fire in his belly for that, you know, want of a better phrase, balls to the wall qualifying lap. And so the team is not in a point scoring car, let's be honest. And in a track that you can't really overtake, Hülkenberg qualifying high, there's an outside chance of some points there. We've had very little in the way of retirements. But in the end, finishing 11th and 12th, it's kind of where Haas are. In a race with a couple of retirements, 11th and 12th is really all they can hope for. I know it's no points, but a couple, you know, two more retirements and they've got a double points finish. And it's not beyond the realms of possibility on this track for us to have a handful of retirements. So they did all they could do. And for Magnussen to finish just one position behind his teammate, given the polar opposite qualifying sessions that they had, it's a pretty strong performance from him. So I think both drivers can hold their head high this weekend. They did everything they could. I couldn't see anything that either of them could have done better. So a weekend of, yeah, that's fine. That's kind of where they are. They've had a few bumper weekends already. They've got something to hang on to now for the rest of the season. They've just got to optimize every weekend. And let's be honest, this Haas team, I went into this season saying, well, they're going to be last, clearly. Because they were last year and they're having no money put into them and they've lost their team principal. No one wants to be part of Haas anymore. What are they going to do? And to be fair, Aoki Matsu has got them organised. He's got them, you know, optimising their race weekends very well. So they've actually got a chance of not finishing last. I think they will finish behind the RBs, but I think they've definitely got a chance of fighting Williams and Sauber. So yeah, good weekend for Haas. I'm quite happy with that.
Komatsu paying attention to the way that his favourite football team behave, you know, and I'm pretty sure Coventry City is still offering him tickets if he wants to take them. I'm not sure if they're still extending that invitation to Christine Horner, but, you know, that's still swept under the rug. Dev, Esteban Ocon finished P14 for Alpine and Gasly finished P16. We've seen some first lap racing from the Alpines at Imola and Miami now, with the pair both fighting tooth and nail early in Miami. And we also saw Ocon and Stroll side by side from Tosa in Imola today. My point being, fast and racy starts from the Alpine, but fading away there for a mostly anonymous race from the French outfit.
Yeah, it's just been a year where nothing really has gone so far, you know, to aid their cause at all. I mean, just the last race we saw Esteban Ocon finally succeeding in opening the points for the team when he scored P10 at Miami. Thus far, the entire team have, to their credit, just one solitary point. But yeah, it was just some good hard racing, but nothing came to fruition. I think the way the things are panning out for the French constructor, I think they would need Nico Rosberg's prophecy to come true when he said that we would need the point system to change and for drivers to be allocated some points up to P15 or P18, I don't know. Maybe that can only help their cause, but nothing seems to be going right for them. The upgrades haven't happened. I think there are probably three or four more races before we can have any upgrades on the tractor, not the car that they are contending with in this season. I've said it previously on the show. I mean, my heart goes out to both the talented young Frenchmen. And it was supposed to have been a dream pairing. They had two very capable drivers together, but sadly not the car with which to fight consistently for points or with which to even end up scoring a P9 or a P10.
Absolutely. Very Al Paul from the Alpines. But to go with another terrible pun, Tom, let's kick things off for Sauber. Zhou P15 and Bottas P18. Zhou and Ocon are under investigation due to some incident between the two of them that didn't seem to be broadcast and doesn't seem to have any video evidence whatsoever online. But Ocon was the one that was pushed off. That's all I can tell you at this point. But a quiet race for the team who continue their pointless start to 2024.
Yeah, in the race, I think I saw them being overtaken a few times. But yeah, very, very little in the way of camera time. And like you say, I've been searching for ages trying to find the videos of this incident, and I can't find anything anywhere. All I can find is videos of Zhou doing interviews saying yeah, no, yeah, or something like that. It's nothing. Yeah. Either way, it's not going to affect anyone's result, was it? Ocon 40, P14, and I seem to have to look up where they finished. So finishing 14th and 15th, respectively, it's not going to affect anything, is it? Worst case scenario, it might be a couple of penalty points and someone's license, but we didn't see it, so don't know. Difficult one to call for Sauber, having not seen any of it. Hey, the pit stops were all right.
you've got to say that that's a big step up. They introduced changes to their wheel guns this weekend, where their wheel nuts are no longer, as soon as they get a little bit warm, they start expanding and locking on. So that seems to have been rectified now, which is good. So at least they can go into races not, you know, fearing ever making a pit stop, just praying for a red flag so they can do a pit stop in their own time. So that's all good. That's the only positive thing I can say about Sauber, Stake, Kick, Audi, whatever they're called at the moment.
The only team enjoying the sprint races because of a lack of pit stops. But Dev, also pointless in 2024, Williams, who had one car finish thanks to Logan Sargeant, who ended up P17 after Alex Albon retired after the nightmare scenario of a loose wheel during a pit stop, ironically not driving for Sauber, and serving a 10-second penalty. There's an overweight car, which seems to be the fundamental issue with the Williams team, but they are underperforming and they are only ahead of Sauber thanks to finishing higher early in the season due to the aforementioned pit stops.
Yes, they have sort of conveniently slotted themselves as the backmarkers, the perennial backmarkers of the season. And I think there's nothing really going for them as a team. Both the drivers have failed to score even a solitary point. Between themselves, they have collectively 3 race retirements already. Miami was the race where I think Logan Sargeant retired. Today he finished with 17 points. He started his campaign with the P20, which was a nothing result really at Bahrain. And the only, so far this season, I think the only 2 occasions where Williams have seemed a bit in form have been Saudi Arabia and Australia, where I think Alex Albon came as far as clocking up a P11, but then nothing really going his way except the fact that he now has a new contract extension with the Williams team where he feels comfortable, and he's, you know, he said it repeatedly that he loves working with the team and the team in turn loves working with him. But there was nothing lovely about the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix results for the duo. They have time on their hands. They aren't the most experienced drivers on the grid, but there's natural potential to, you know, lift his team to performances of the sorts that we saw last year, for example, at Canada, where he got the driver of the day and a P7. These are the kind of things that Alex Albon can hopefully bring to the fore. But how soon can that happen? And will it actually happen remains the biggest question for me at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And it could still potentially get worse as the stewards intend to investigate after the race whether the driver continued to drive the car knowing it was released in an unsafe condition, which is an alleged breach of Article 34.14E of the Formula One Sporting regulations. So potential for it to get worse for Williams. But let's have a look at driver of the day. So the Grid Talk driver of the day, we all voted. Well, I say we all voted. Grid Talk voted overwhelmingly for Lando Norris. Now, Tom, do you agree with this? Your T-shirt suggests yes, but you know, there might have been other drivers who you believe had a stronger race.
A typical British bias, honestly. I'm always saying that Lando Norris is driver of the day, but that's because I'm incredibly biased. But I would say that for once, the winner needs to get some props for the performance. And Max Verstappen, under huge pressure, held on well. So I would say props to him as well. But I would say overall, yeah, it has to be Lando Norris because, well, he looked after his tyres better and gave us a grandstand finish. So that was fabulous to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I voted for Max Verstappen. It might surprise a few of our regular listeners to know. But Dev Tiagi, did you agree with Grid Talk that Lando Norris was the driver of the day, or do you have someone else in mind?
No, I completely side with the Grid Talk, always coming up with the wisest and the sanest answers into these tricky questions. I think we haven't really had a Grand Prix or successive Grand Prix where any driver in particular has been able to mount pressure on a dominant performer like Max Verstappen. So full kudos to McLaren and Lando Norris. As we discussed earlier, Tom, yourself and I, that if he would have had at his disposal maybe half a dozen more laps or even fewer, who knows, he would have been the person standing on the top step here at Imola. And that would have been a brilliant victory. But Verstappen actually confessing on the radio that the car is, I'm finding it difficult to turn the car in my... was also complaining about weaving. I think the rear of the car wasn't functioning as well to his liking. So I think Norris put that the pressure on Verstappen. And I think somewhere, I could be wrong, cracks have begun to appear. And, you know, the writing is clear on the wall that Red Bull are fallible at the end of the day. They can be defeated. I think a trend that we saw all thanks to Carlos Sainz last year when he put up a brilliant fight in Monza, although, yes, it did not yield the victory, but a very hope-inspiring podium. And then, of course, Singapore, and then we have Lando Norris now winning. And before that, Max Verstappen bungling out in Australia for no fault of his own, though. So there are other drivers who've picked up the fight to Verstappen. And I think it's amazing for the overall viewership of the sport, with full regards to the Flying Dutchman. So yeah, great choice. Lando Norris, hats off to him for this weekend. Commendable job.
Absolutely. And if you want to let us know your driver of the day, if you're watching the live stream, let us know in the chat. But if you're not, you're listening to this later, let us know on our socials at GridTalk UK. And after that cheeky little plug, it's time to allow our panelists to also give a little cheeky plug. Tom Horrocks has been doing it all show with his overlay, but you're from the monkey seat as well as being a co-host on Grid Talk. What do you want to plug?
Well, firstly, obviously, you can plug Grid Talk because I know you will, and that's absolutely, you're right to do so. It's your show. So that is, it's great to be involved in Grid Talk, but the bread and butter of it was the Monkey Seat podcast, which is where I got into podcasting, and me and my friend Carl, we just decided we were going to start a podcast about F1 when he, at the time, knew nothing about Formula 1, which was hilarious. And that's kind of how it started, and that's how we continue to run 4 years on. So, yeah, if you want to hear a slightly educated but not really view of Formula 1 that's unfiltered, uncensored, and quite often wrong, come and give the Monkey Seat a listen at Monkey Seat Pod on all the socials and wherever you find podcasts.
Quite often wrong, but you're not the one that's losing your hair. But, Dev, where can people find more from you if they would like to?
Yeah, I mean, if anyone likes to read my work, I can be found writing on s1chronicle.com, which I have had the pleasure of co-founding with the incredible Aussie Jared Patridge. And then there's kyrosports.com, where I write feature articles. That's kyrosports.com. That's about it.
Absolutely. Go and check those out. And if you want to hear more from me, I'm at rubes001 on the Insta Meta socials. But if you want to find more from Grid Talk, Grid Talk is available on YouTube, where most shows are recorded live, as well as Amazon Fire, Spotify, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Casts. Just search Formula One Grid Talk for our back catalogue of shows with previews and reactions to qualifying and the race results. Qualifying less so these days, but you'll find them if you want to find some historic episodes. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. And also make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when each new weekly episode is released. And we'll be back soon with plenty more F1 content. Thank you very much for listening to the Grid Talk podcast, presented by Bet Online, and goodbye.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
We could try to explain what it feels like to get your work done on a John Deere. The way a Z-Track mower finishes in half the time you thought it would. Or how much easier it is to move mountains of soil with a 1-Series tractor. We could even go into detail about how it feels to tow up to 4,000 pounds behind a Gator SUV. But if you really want to know what it's like to run with us, you just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get-in-the-seat or visit a dealer near you.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch.
Lifesaver. Game changer.
The best thing to ever happen to my finances.
The people have spoken. Monarch makes personal financing a breeze.
Monarch is an intuitive, powerful, collaborative finance app that can help you save, budget, and keep your financial life in shape.
With Monarch, I can see my account balances, transactions, and investments in one place, so I always know what's going on with my money.
Whether you're saving for your first home, thinking about starting a family, your own business, or planning for retirement, Monarch is here for you every step of the way.
Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Monarch and manage your finances more effectively. See what thousands of people are saying about Monarch, the app Wall Street Journal voted the best budgeting app of 2024. Collaborate with your partner or financial advisor at no additional cost. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.